the day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more tears to deny, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts today as we worship you in your house. We thank you again, Lord, for the blessings that you brought to us. We pray, Lord, that you bring the Holy Spirit down to our pastor, that the word he preaches to us will be from you and not from his heart. We thank you so much for this church, Lord, that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. Thank you for our pastor who does this. And, Lord, we just thank you that for those that are here, bless the families that are here, Lord, and those that can't be here and because of sickness, and those that are traveling, Lord, give them traveling mercy. Lord, we turn this service over to you, that everything done here today will be to glorify you. Thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Roger. Let me acknowledge a couple of visitors that are visiting with us for the first time. I have my jiu-jitsu student from L.A., John, and his friend Gerardo. Would you guys stand up and say hi to the church? Yeah. They drove about 2 hours to be in fellowship with us today. Amen. John's dad, Brother Johnny, got saved at our church in L.A. Let me tell you a testimony, because I think it will bless your heart. I think it's okay with John to tell about how good God is. His dad, Johnny, was staying at the motel behind our church in L.A., and he was a little bit high. You know what I mean by being high. He was in the world. He was in and out of prison. And I say that not to put him down, but I say that to testify that God can change a man. One Sunday, he had just got out of the motel, and he heard the singing in our church, opened the door, and sat in the foyer of our church in L.A., the church that I told you about, where I served for 10 years. He sat in there and heard the gospel and stayed, and he got saved, got baptized, brought his son, John, to church, you know, and been sober. He falls every now and then, but he's serving God in the church. He became a right-hand man of our pastor in L.A. He was in charge of keeping the church facility clean. You know, oftentimes he slept in the church and, you know, cleaned the place. And so that's a testimony for a guy who had lived this life in prison, most of it. I met John through him, through his dad. John became one of my jiu-jitsu students. And John got saved also at another church through the testimony. And then God's good, amen?
Amen?
Amen. We also have a couple in the back that's visiting with us. Welcome to Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. if you could wave your hand. I didn't get a chance to meet them. So, amen. Welcome to Chile as well. Okay, okay, we'll do that. Also, a couple of announcements. Ladies, please sign up for snacks for the Children's Sunday, which is next Sunday, the 12th. My wife has asked me to for the ladies to sign up for, if you want to bring some snacks for the children for the next coming Sunday, there's a sign-up sheet, I think, somewhere in the back. Also, if it's tax season, those of you that are in need of your tax deductions for your givings, talk to Brother Romel about it, and he'll have a form, a report for you. He's leaving, though, for 3 weeks, so you either catch him before he leaves, or you're going to have to wait after 3 weeks. He's going to China. I have to pray for Brother Romel in China and Philippines, and, you know, he's just, he's a wanderer. Amen. But if you, so if you need your tax deductions for the last year, catch him before he leaves, or wait until he gets back 3 weeks from now. Amen. Let me see if I didn't miss anybody that's here visiting with us for the first time. Pray for Brother David Shandell. He's preaching right now in Tijuana. He's been preaching there since Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, amen. February, celebrants, anniversaries, birthdays, please stand. We'll sing a song for you. Sister Rosa, Brother Roger and Laura, Rocio, Michelle Hernandez. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. Amen. How many years, Brother Roger?
61.
61 years. Yes. Zuriel?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, they're just like us. My wife and I, we've been married this February 7th for 14 years. So we're pretty close to you, you know. 61 years, 14 years, yeah. We're about the same. Amen. Where's our scripture reading? Brother Mac?
I'll be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence and added to your faith, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brother kindness, and to brother kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfaithful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election. Sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, this is a blessing. I was delighted when Sister Ruth told me to look up this song on the computer. This is a beautiful song. I'm glad that you showed me that too. Amen. You know, sometimes we forget when our circumstances turn bad and troubles and trials come upon us, we forget and take our eyes off of God. But you know what? When we come back into our right mind and we realize what God has done for us in the past, you know that he would never leave us nor desert us. He will always be there for us. We got to remember that what God can do for us. Amen.
Look what God has done for you. Look what he has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Just look what God has done for you.
When you were hungry, he was your dearest friend.
When you need a shelter, he covered you with his blood.
We count his blessings, being thankful and true.
Just look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what he has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Just look what God has done for you.
When you were in trouble, he was your dearest friend.
When you needed someone, he was there unto the end.
In your darkest hours, he's been faithful and true.
So look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what he has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Just look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what he has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Just look what God.
Look what God.
Just look what God has done for you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Look what God can do.
We're just kind of backwards a little bit. It's time to greet our visitors and time to greet everyone, if you would, please. bless him. About your bulletin, we're changing the offering song to 200. Offering song will be 200. If you'll stand, please.
me, Lord, a servant heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant heart. Help me draw so close to you that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant.
How many of you are paying attention to the news? Raise a hand, yes. Pretty up to date with what's going on in this country and in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you would stand in honor of God's word. As after you find 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to Nehemiah chapter 6. And as you find your way to Nehemiah chapter 6, in the light of the current events and what has been happening, there is no other book that tackles and deals with a nation better than the book of Nehemiah. Now, I've said before, when we first came here last year, a preaching disclaimer, and I'd like to repeat that disclaimer every now and then, just in case you forget, or in case I forget. Amen. Amen? And here's the disclaimer before we tackle Nehemiah. In dealing with preaching, there are a couple of disclaimers that we have to be reminded of, and that is, number one, the Bible is divine. But the listener is carnal. The nature of the Bible will go against human nature. Preaching is a battle. We're about to go to war. Preaching will naturally offend your reason. The only time preaching will not offend you is when the listener is in tune with the Bible, or when the Bible is not being preached. Then there is no offense. Nehemiah chapter 6, look at verses 1 to 4, beginning with chapter 6, while you're holding your text on 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and answered them after the same manner. Let's just keep reading all the way to verse 9. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou, Nehemiah, and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou faintest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Notice Nehemiah's prayer. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Let me ask Brother Raul to bless this message this morning. Brother Raul, please.
Heavenly Father, as we open to your word, we thank you for it, first of all, Lord. Thank you for those who wrote this, your word. Thank you for it. It's true, and it is precious. Sweeter than a honeycomb. Hmm. Give us understanding now, Lord. Pray the Holy Spirit speak to each of our hearts, that we may draw close to thee and do thy will.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We begin with the exposition of the text. And as I said, Nehemiah is probably the best text that deals with a nation. And it's verily applicable to the current events that is going on in our country. But look at verse 1 first. The Bible says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, notice the enemies of Israel are named. The first enemy of Israel named here is, the Bible says, the Arabians. Okay? He's an Arabian. Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies. Now, let me give you a little bit of a history. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 7, we'll begin to see the groups of people that are against Israel from the beginning of time. 2 Chronicles 26, 7, the Bible says, and God helped him against the... Are you there? 2 Chronicles 26, 7. God helped him against... Who's against the Israelites? The Philistines. And against the Arabians. When you say, Pastor, that's politically incorrect. Well, I'd rather be politically incorrect, but biblically accurate. Amen. There are enemies of Israel, and the Bible names them who they are. One, from the beginning of time, were the Philistines, the Arabians, the Gurbal, the Mehunims. You know, fine. Go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 14. Genesis chapter 10, verse 14. You see this Philistines. Notice how they came about. Now, the Philistines were from the line of Ham in Genesis chapter 10. Look at verse 14. And Pethrusim and Casluhim. What does that say? Out of whom came Philistine and Kephthorim. Okay, so he comes from the line of Ham. Now go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 14. I'm trying to give you a background on who these enemies of Israel are from the beginning of time. Go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 14. What does that say? The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of, what does your Bible say? It should say Palestina.
Amen.
Amen? Now, people, politicians like to claim that that's not the same as the Philistines. That Palestinian, the PLO today, is not the same as the Philistines of the old times. But the Bible says it is the same.
Amen.
The Palestinian Liberation Front, PLF, under Yasser Arafat, that's the issue with Israel today. They want Israel to compromise and give up the land to establish and maintain peace in the Middle East. But you see, that's not a modern issue that just came about. I just showed you a text from Genesis to Exodus to 2 Chronicles, and from the beginning of time, the Palestinians had been against the Israelites. Let me give you a couple more enemies of Israel. Go to Psalm chapter 83, verses 6 to 10. Psalm chapter 83, verses 6 to 10. Politicians today are trying to lobby and say that Israel should give in. Just give up that land in order to establish peace in the Middle East. Let me tell you why it's not going to happen. From the beginning of time, it did not happen. It will not happen.
Amen.
Go to Psalm chapter 83, verses 6 to 10. Look at more opponents and enemies of Israel. It says, verse 5, "For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." Who are they? The tabernacles of Edom, the Edomites, and the who? Ishmaelites. Who is that? I'm sorry to tell you, but that's the Muslims. Again, politically incorrect, but biblically accurate. Of Moab, the Moabites, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, and the Ammon, the Ammonites, and Amalek, the Amalekites, and the Philistines. You see that? Aser also was with them. The Midianites also with them. You see that? How many enemies do you think Israel has? The whole Middle East is against Israel. Now let's go to verse 2 now of our text. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies," I just named them for you, "heard that I had builded a wall and that there was no breach left therein." Notice the offer of peace and unity in verse 2. "Then Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." Notice their call, their offer of peace and unity. Now let's get back to Psalm 83. Psalm 83, look at the call of this enemies, this proven enemies of Israel. Notice how they get around the system. Notice their call for peace and unity. Look at verse 3 now of Psalm 83. The Bible says, "For they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And they have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of" who? "Israel may be no more in remembrance." What's the real motive of the Palestinian Liberation Front and everyone that does not support Israel? It's to wipe out the nation of Israel. But they're not honest about it. They try to go around it by saying, "Oh, we want to be at peace with you. We're really trying to establish peace on earth. Just give in already, Israel." But go back to verse 2 of our text in Nehemiah chapter 6. Go back to look at your Bible. "But they thought to do me mischief." They have a motive. They're called for peace and unity. They have an ulterior motive. Okay? Have you ever met someone who tries to befriend you only to find out that they have a motive for befriending you? Well, that's what the Islamic liberation, that's what the ISIS wants. That's what the entire world wants of Israel. They have a motive. People say, no, people just want peace. Yeah, that's, go to Psalm 120. People think, do you really believe that what these people want is peace on earth? Go to Psalm 120, verse 7. Politically incorrect. Biblically right. Psalm 120, verse 7. I am for peace, but when I speak, what does your Bible say? They are for war. Amen? Verse 3, now notice their offer of fellowship in verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Nehemiah chapter 6. Are you there with me? And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down? Nehemiah tells them, I'm sorry, I can't fellowship with you. I can't be at peace with you. I can't be in unity with you, because I am doing a great work. I can't leave my work. Okay? He tells them in verse 3, he had limited his fellowship, and he was resolved to continue the work. Verse 5, then Sanballat, his servant, unto me, in like manner, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. So four times was not enough. The fifth time, he comes once again to Nehemiah. The only thing different this time, the fifth time, is now he comes with rumors and slander. Look at verse 6. Wherein was written, Sanballat comes to Nehemiah holding a letter in his hand with an accusation. And here are three accusations of Sanballat to Nehemiah. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. First accusation. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, people are talking about you. Okay? And Gashmu saith it, that thou, Nehemiah, and the Jews, think to rebel. They're saying, oh, Nehemiah, the real reason, do you know that people are talking about you? That the real reason why you're building that wall, while you're rebuilding Jerusalem, is you're really going to rebel against the king. That's the first accusation. The second accusation is this. Look at verse 7. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. They're accusing Nehemiah. Your real motive, Nehemiah, for rebuilding the wall is you're really going to rebel against the king. And in reality, Nehemiah, you want to be the king. And in reality, Nehemiah, you're trying to appoint biased and paid prophets to preach about you. That's the accusation. Do you see that? And so they began this rumor and this slander against Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, no, that's not the case. Verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, there's no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid. Look at verse 7 to continue. After their rumors and their slander, notice their threat. Notice their threats. Look at verse 7. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Look at the threat. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. You know what that's saying? Oh, we're going to go to the king. And we're going to tell the king that you really want to be a king, and that you really want to rebel against him, and you're trying to appoint yourself your own prophets. That's the threat. the threat to involve the secular government in the work of God. That's the threat. In verses 10 to 14, you'll find the deception from among his fellow prophets and peers. Look at verse 10 now. We'll make an application in a little bit. I just want you to understand the text for now. Look at verse 10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah. Now, Shemaiah is a prophet, or was a prophet, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." Verse 11, Nehemiah says, "I will not go in." Verse 12, "Because I perceive that God hath not really sent him." You understand what's going on here? There's a prophet that comes to Nehemiah. Mind you, a prophet speaking or claiming to speak in behalf of God. And he tells Nehemiah, "Nehemiah, come on, they're going to kill you. Come inside the temple with me so that you may not be killed." The deception from among his fellow prophet, among his peers. But Nehemiah had discernment, did he not? He knew, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. "And I perceived that God had not sent him, but for Tobiah and Sanballat had what? Hired him." You mean to say there are paid prophets? Oh, there's no such thing as a pastor that's paid. There's no such thing as a pastor that compromises so he'll get paid. Really? There's one here in this text. There's a deception from among fellow prophets. In verses 17 to 18, to make matters worse, and yes, they did finish the wall, but in verses 17 to 18, the next opposition was the betrayal and threats from among family members. Say, uh-oh. Look at verse 16 and 17. "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, that the wall was built, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Look at verse 17. "Moreover, in those days, we see that there are a group of Israelites again, the nobles of Judah, sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him." Do you understand what's going on? Among the people of Judah are people that were sworn to Tobiah and Sanballat. Traitors from within the camp of the Israelites. How are they traitors? Well, here's the thing. Many of these nobles, look at verse 18. "For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah." Do you understand what's going on? This people of Israel, they were intermarried with the heathen. So they had family ties that was not supposed to be there. So behind Nehemiah's back, they were giving letters to Tobiah and Sanballat to give them intel about what's going on inside. You understand what's going on? You understand the betrayal amongst the family of Israel? Now, the title of this message is "The Total Christian Warfare." The Total Christian Warfare. If you follow the trend of the problems that Nehemiah faced, and if you've been a Christian long enough, you will know that it is similar to church problems.
Amen.
Very similar to church problems. One of the common church problems is gossips against church leadership. I'm not saying it's here. I'm just making an application, okay? I don't think it exists in this church. But I'm saying one of the common church problems oftentimes begins with the gossip against church leadership. They say, oh, did you know that Pastor so-and-so, this and this and that? Did you know that he's a dictator? Did you know that he's embezzling money? It starts with a gossip. It begins with a slander. A veteran pastor said, sometimes you cannot blame pastors of large churches when they begin to act like tyrants. Why? Because in large churches, if the pastor does not become some type of a dictator, you know what happens? There are members in the church who want to be the dictator of the pastor. So by necessity, the pastor becomes overly domineering in order to put people that want to control the church. But you say, there are no such thing in the church, really? Go to 3 John 9. 3 John 9. I'm not saying I'm going to be a dictator, okay? You should know me by now. But I'm saying it happens in churches. Look at 3 John 9. Only one chapter. Did you know that in the church there are people who love the preeminence? Look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, Diotrephes is a believer, but he's a believer with an ego.
Amen.
He's a believer, a church member, who thought that he should be preeminent in the church. Now, you tell me there are no church members like that.
Amen.
Who like to be in the spotlight of things. I don't think there's one in this church, but I'm saying there are Christians like that in the ministry. And one of the problems in the ministry that we will face, that I will face as a pastor, are people who love to have preeminence, who love to be in a spotlight. Like I said, I don't think there's one in here. But this problem that Nehemiah had is very applicable to the local church. And then there's that threat of secular involvement. The enemies of Israel said, I'm going to tell the king. That's the threat of secular involvement. Second to the gossips against church leadership is the threat of involving the government. In some churches, there are people that sue fellow church members, that sue the pastors, sue the deacons, the leadership. The Bible prohibits that. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible prohibits that. But one of the problems in the church that ministries face is the threat of secular involvement. Oh, we're going to call the ACLU.
Amen?
Amen? It's true. We're going to tell a lawyer, we're going to tell the government that you guys are breaking this and this and that law. That you guys are discriminating. I want to marry my boyfriend. And if you don't allow me to marry my boyfriend, you guys are going to get shut down. It's true. A lot of pastors and ministries get shut down for saying no to performing same-sex marriage. You pray for me as we rewrite our constitution and bylaws, because the wording of that constitution and bylaws have to specifically say that the only marriage allowed in this church has to be that of a naturally born woman and a naturally born man.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? That's hate speech outside of the walls of this church. But it's biblical.
Amen.
And then The third church ministry problem is the threat from family clans. And I've seen this. Oftentimes in some churches, there's a dominating family, just a large family members in the church, and they begin to control the church because there's so many of them in the same church. I've seen it happen. You know what happens when you offend one family member? The entire clan leaves the church. These are issues that a minister faces, that a ministry faces. Amen?
Amen.
Now, enough with that. Let me give you...
Get to the message.
Thank you. Go to the New Testament text that I referred you to. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Here's the message. On the total Christian warfare. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Here's the message. Paul says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries."
Amen.
The total Christian warfare, it's a war. It is a war. Acts chapter 4, verse 26 says, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." You know what the total Christian warfare is? The total Christian warfare is the whole world against us.
Amen.
The whole world against you. The whole world against Christ. That's the total Christian warfare. In Revelation chapter 17, you know what the Bible says? Revelation chapter 17, verse 13. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast," talking about the nations. "And these nations shall make war with the Lamb." Revelation 17, verse 14. "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings."
Amen.
Amen. Do you understand the true Christian battle? The true Christian warfare is the entire world, all the nations against Christianity.
Amen.
That's the total Christian battle. There are many adversaries. How does that apply to us as Christians? Did you know that in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ warned his followers? Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, look at this. "If you think that the Christian life is an easy life to live, think again. If you think that the Christian life is a life without opposition, think again." Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword."
Amen.
The United Nations cannot establish peace on earth. Verse 35. "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Wow. Do you understand the total Christian warfare? It's a battleground. It's a battleground. And day after day, year after year that we live this life, there are more and more oppositions. And we know who's behind that. He knows his end. He knows his life is about to end in the bottomless pit. And he begins to get busy.
Amen.
He begins to put the pressure in the churches. He begins to put the pressure on the preachers of the Word of God. He begins to put the pressure on the people of God. The closer we get to the end.
Amen.
But let me close with this. Ephesians chapter 6. We are in a battle. That's why Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 6. You know what he says? "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I tell you, I've seen the wicked of the wickedness. I've seen gangsters murder their own families, their own sons, their own fathers, their own mothers, their own daughters, their own sisters. I've seen mothers take the lives of their own infants. I tell you, we are in a total spiritual warfare. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I tell you, we live in a wicked world. We do. We live in a wicked world. Day after day, you have to think of it. Every time you put on your clothes, that when you wake up in the morning with your Bible, always think that you are about to go to war. That's how it is. The moment you decided to follow Christ, you joined the army. You've enlisted in the Lord's army. And if you think that the man in uniform will not be under attack, look around you. People don't care who's the man behind the uniform. All they see is the uniform. That's my enemy. Amen? The total spiritual warfare is spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. We need to be prayerful. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. I love the word of God. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in verse 18, it gets even better. He says, praying always. Praying always. You know what praying always means? It doesn't mean that you cannot do anything because you're supposed to be praying. You know what praying always means? It's a state of awareness. It's a state of communication with God. It's not about, oh, we need to pray. We're going to pray. You can pray in your closet. Amen. As a matter of fact, true prayer is prayer that is unseen. Remember what Jesus Christ said? When thou prayest, go into the closet. And the Father that seeth you in secret will reward you openly. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all. So you know what we need to do? We need to pray for one another. Amen. We need to pray for one another. Forget this bickering. Forgive. Forgive. We should be praying for one another. Should be always in a constant state of prayer. Verse 19, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. First of all, be in a state of prayer. Second of all, pray for fellow believers. Amen. Pray for one another. And thirdly, pray for the preacher of the word of God. Amen. For boldness. Verse 20 says, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Amen. The world is trying to shut up preachers. They want to put us in handcuffs. They want to put a tape around on our mouth so we cannot speak the truth. You pray for us, for everyone that preaches the word of God. Pray for one another. Be in a constant state of prayer. Amen. Amen. You know, there will come a time when Jesus Christ comes back that your faith will be put to the test. And you'll be hated.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be forced to receive a mark of the beast in order to purchase. There will come a time your faith will be tested. But today, I cannot close this message without having an open invitation. The things that I've said today, they will not make any sense to someone who does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Prayer does not mean anything to you. Prayer is a privilege of the saved. The only prayer that God hears of the unsaved person is the prayer for salvation.
Amen.
People say, oh, I'm a prayer warrior. You ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No, I don't think anyone can know that. Well, all of your prayers are wasted. Because the only prayer that God will hear is the prayer from His saint.
Amen.
And a prayer for salvation. Amen?
Amen?
So the question is, are you saved today? Do you have a relationship with the one who you're praying to? When I was a Roman Catholic, they taught us how to use the beads, the rosary. 10 Hail Marys, one glory be to the Father, and then at the end you can just keep circling all around and around. Wasted prayer. Wasted prayer. It's in vain repetition. Amen? How's your prayer life today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but how is your prayer life today? Are you in a constant awareness of the God of heaven who saved your soul? How's your prayer life today? Have you prayed for someone, a brother or sister in Christ? Have you prayed for your pastor and for this ministry this week? How's your prayer life today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano comes, how long has it been? How long has it been since you've come down and bowed down to the holy and mighty God and spoke to Him in private, in secret, in all the solemnity, when no one is looking? How long has it been? The altar is open. You know, Jesus Christ is just waiting. He's like that father that's always just waiting for the son to come. Would you come this morning? Would you come and talk to your father? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the altar is open. If you do not belong to this church, but God led you to this church, would you come today and join this local assembly? If you have not followed scriptural baptism, would you come today and follow that first step of obedience? Would you come this morning? Please stand to your feet if you can. If you're praying, you may remain seated. The altar is open. Just as I am,
just as I am, and in one plea, that thou, my God, shed for me.
people say. Amen. Please take time to shake the hands of our visitors that have blessed us with their presence today. Don't just walk away. Shake hands with everyone before you go home. I'll be back tonight. I want to encourage you to attend the evening services. We are doing expository study on 1 Corinthians, just like we do with Nehemiah. We go from verse to verse, word by word, of the book of 1 Corinthians. So I encourage you to come 5 o'clock tonight and also 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Amen. Let me ask somebody to close us in prayer. Brother Jerry, would you close us in prayer, please, Brother Jerry?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again today for the word you're using our pastor. Talk to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May you strengthen him, Lord, always. Truly, Lord, there's a lot of adversaries all around us. Let us cling to your word, Lord, and let us love one another.
Yes.
And to stay with us with your words, through God, by using your pastor, talking to us, and reading the gospel. Protect us, Lord, and help us, protect each other, and bless us as we go, and bring us to my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.